association with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 95 of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast. I'm Adam.
I'm Alicia.
Alicia.
Yeah.
Nana.
That's my name.
We watched an episode of Doctor Who this week, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
And that episode was called...
End of Earth.
No.
Earth End.
No.
Earth and End are in it.
What? End of the World.
Yeah, but World is the same as Earth.
Earth wasn't in it at all. End was in it. Oh, I'll give you that one. But Earth wasn't in it
at all. Earth and World is actually the same situation.
F and World?
Earth, exactly the same world.
So, can you remember anything of it?
Yes.
Oh, good. That's good then, isn't it?
Yes.
Go on then.
Rose and Doctor land on, what's it called?
Observation thingamajig?
No, you know, but what's the actual thing called?
I can't remember what it's actually called.
Nine?
Is it what?
Platform.
Platform 9, but it ends up, it does come back later on in the series, but we'll
talk
about that later on
in the series.
Yes, I don't know.
It's called a word of some sort. And yeah, so that happens.
Yes.
And they're on this observation thing, and then Doctor's like, welcome to the end of the world! And then, because the sun expands and...
The what?
Sun expands.
Oh, I thought you said Sonic. Spans.
No,
yes, the sun expands, listeners. That's what she's trying
billion,
to say.
Billion.
What's billion Piper
billion,
got to do with it?
Billion.
Oh, sorry, billion. Sorry.
You trying to be funny?
Not being funny at all.
You are.
No, okay. Go on then, carry on. Billions of years into the future.
Yeah.
Right.
And yeah, so then they go off and then they meet this blue guy, which is the steward. Steward? So like caretaker.
No, I'll go with your first explanation, I think.
It's like a caretaker.
I thought it was more like a steward, actually.
What's a steward, then? A butler?
I don't know.
But this is the first time I've seen the sonic paper.
Sonic?
I mean, the psychic paper.
The sonic paper.
The psychic paper.
Yes.
The psychic
the
paper.
The psychic...
Which says that Doctor and Plus One. And Rose is Plus One. And then the steward starts introducing all these... Aliens, and that's when we first see Captain Jack, I mean, face with bow.
Yes.
And trees, we saw, and that's when the last person is the last human, when she isn't really human, she's just a thin skin with eyes.
Basically
and
a trampoline up on its head.
No, it's like Voldemort, but skin.
I don't remember Voldemort looking like a trampoline.
No, it's like Voldemort,
which
was just flat. Flat Voldemort. Because Voldemort doesn't have a nose.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yes, how does she breathe?
Through a special system underneath. You can see her
Where's
brain.
Where's her heart, then?
Doesn't need a heart. She's got... her life is kept alive artificially by the machinery underneath the trampoline section of her construction.
It's disgusting. I would never want to be like that. And the brain is kept in like a pot underneath her.
Yes.
They start giving gifts to each other.
Do they? Oh yes, that's right.
Yeah, they do. And they give the tree. What's the tree's name?
I can't remember what the tree's name was. Good point. What was the tree's name, Alicia?
Isabella.
The tree's name was Isabella.
No. I don't know, but it's a tree.
It's a tree, yeah.
A human tree.
Yeah, yeah.
So the tree gives a cutting from her grandfather.
Yeah, it's very kind of her, isn't it?
The doctor doesn't have anything on him, so he gives the gift of air. And then the blue guy. The blue guy was in the little chair. The fat blue guy. Pixie.
Mox of Balhoon?
Yeah, the Mox of Balhoon, whatever his name is, gave spit, which Rose got
again,
in her
very,
eye.
Very generous.
Yeah.
I mean, you said about the blue guy, or was he called the steward?
Yeah.
He was. That's very good of you. Carry on. I can tell you the name of the tree.
What?
Jabe.
Jabe?
Yep.
Yeah, Jabe.
Yep.
And the, what they called? The one with the gift of peace and all good faith. Which is just a roundy ball kind of thing.
A bit like the roundy ball thing that controlled the Yeti the Yeti stories from the 60s.
And Lady Cassandra, which just entered, brings gift of she brings an ostrich egg.
Yeah.
She says that it's told legend that it used to breathe fire, had a wingspan of 50 feet or something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
You listened to this very well, didn't you, Mummy?
And then she says, this was, then it's a jukebox, and then she says, this what they used to call an iPod.
Which is one of your favourite parts of the whole story.
Yeah, an iPod, but it's not an iPod, obviously. And then, Rose is kind of overwhelmed by all of this, and like starts having a breakdown and runs away. Rose runs off, and then Doctor tries to run after her, then James stops him and takes a picture of him. Mm-hmm. And she goes, thank you, and walks off. And then the weird people that goes, gift of peace, all good faith, gives a gift to the steward for some reason.
Yes.
And then it cuts back to Rose, who is looking out the window.
Yeah,
looking at the earth. And then this plumber comes along.
Oh yes, the blue plumber.
Blue plumber comes along, and she says she has to give permission to speak. So Rose gives her permission, and then she goes, and Rose's like, are you a plumber then? She goes, yes miss. And she goes, we've still got plumbers in this age. She goes, yes, I hope so, otherwise I'm going to be at the job. She goes, I've just hitched this little man, I don't even know him, he's a total stranger. And then the blue person is looking down a tunnel, and this kind of like spider thing comes out with a camera, like eye camera.
Right.
And then points at her, and then she tries to identify it, but she can't, and then loads of them come out. Loads of them, and then attack her.
Yep.
And then I think,
before you go, I've got a bit here that actually says who that group of strange people are. Oh, it's the tree. Sorry, that has jumped back a bit further than I expected.
The Forest of Chi, that's where James from.
Yes, wasn't that mentioned more recently in Doctor Who?
The Forest of Chi.
That woman who did the embroidered thing that for Mowgli.
Have you got the episode on your iPod?
I've got this episode on my iPod.
Can I have a look at it?
This is it. This is a bit.
No, mate.
No, it's not. Oh, no, you've made me miss
Can
it.
Can I have
again.
It?
What do you want it for?
Because I want it. No, because I don't
want Because you want to watch the whole thing and to commentate on it. That's cheating. Give it here. Isabella, get it off her, please.
No, wait, I can't remember a bit after the... No,
that's cheating. You're supposed to remember it off by heart. I was just using it to try and get a name of those character
types. Oh, wait, it's here! Oh, I missed it now. It's your fault.
Good grief.
Don't you dare.
Yes, the podcasting laundry model is... currently modelling some more lingerie.
Oh, for God's sake, Dad, tell her.
What, for stop Please. To stop lingerie, to do doing lingerie?
Dad, tell her, she's climbing on top of
all
me.
All right, Isabella, right, let's get the phone back if you're going to start messing around. Well, go and sit back here, please. Don't trip over any wires.
Wait. Oh, the brothers of the repeated mean.
Hey, can I have my iPod back then, please?
A gift of peace.
Isabella, can you come and sit down, please? Honestly, the things I have to put up with. Our lingerie model has just moved a bit closer.
Oh, that's the thing I was going to say. You know when, before Rose runs off?
Yeah.
She plays, Cassandra puts a song on.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, Earth, Death. In 15 minutes.
Yes.
Earth, Death. Yeah, and then they put, before Rose runs away, it goes, sometimes I feel I've got to run away. I thought the music for this was really, really good. It goes really well.
Just the jukebox music.
Yeah, it goes really, really well, the music they used.
Yes.
So the blue person has just got attacked by those things in the tunnel. And then the steward goes into his office and he puts a ball thing that he got from a repeated...
Yes.
Puts it down.
Repeated
then the computer tells him there's something on board, And he goes, oh yeah, he's like, with the owner of the blue box, please can you remove it, please?
Yeah.
And obviously it's a doctor. And then the ball thing opens.
Yes.
And the little spidey thing comes calling out. And the computer's like, there's something something that's not identified in the office.
Yes.
And the computer asks him, what does it look like? He's like, how am I supposed to know? I see it's small, it's round. And then it comes up and like wanders along.
The little spider thing.
Yeah, little spider thing. Mm-hmm. He goes, I can see it. And then the little spider thing clicks a button and it kills the, because then the sunscreen comes down.
Yes, it basically cooks the blue bloke to death, the steward.
Yeah. And then it goes to Rose, which is at the moment in the thing that the doctor was and Rose was when they landed at the beginning.
Oh yeah, the viewing platform.
Yeah, the viewing platform. Yeah. And then she picks up the tree, which the
tree.
The tree that Jabe gave her, and was like, "Hello, I'm Rose. I'm going mad. I'm talking to a tree." And puts that
Can
down.
I have my?
And then her ball opens with a little spider, and then the doctor turns up, and then what's she doing?
I don't want you to do it via
watching
it. Because I don't want to do a commentary on the whole thing. I just want you to tell me the synopsis of the story. Sulking or not sulking. I haven't got time on the show for doing a complete 45-minute synopsis. Commentary. And then doing another 45-minute commentary on this particular episode. What I wanted you to do was synopsize it. Tell me what you could remember of the story.
And then the doctor... So where Rose goes, where Rose is, and then she asks him who he is, and he starts getting angry about her, like, this is me, if you don't like it, you can go, or something like that.
Oh, to Rose.
Yeah, and then he walks off in a grump.
Mm-hmm. No, that what that's like.
Yeah, goes up in a grump, and then Rose makes him laugh, and then she goes, she starts to have no signal. Great, and then he like puts a little battery thing in the back of her phone, and then she calls her mother. You forgot,
hey, at last. So
they go.
Yeah.
Back to where everybody else is, I think.
Right.
And I think they're going to check out something wrong with the air vent or something like that. It's something to do with the systems.
Is it? Yeah, something to do with the systems. Because he said, isn't it a bit nippy in here?
Yes, and she's like, systems are right next to my room or something like that. So yeah. Then...
Those are great big propellers.
And then she's like, I want you home before midnight. Mm-hmm. So then they go off together.
Right.
And... James, like, I know who you are, you're Time Lord. And she's like, I'm so sorry.
David Tennant, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. That sort of sorry, was it?
No. Oh. Yeah. And the doctor starts crying.
Yes, he does. There's a bit of a tear.
Yeah. Yeah,
somebody must have been peeling onions quite nearby.
Yeah. And then they get into the big propeller room and they saw the little spider thing crawling up. The thing.
Well, they didn't see it, did they? Surely they were walking on and the spider thing was behind them, or was that another bit?
No. Spider thing, and then he tries to get it down with his sonic screwdriver, but then Jane uses her arm, gets it down.
Tentacle thing.
He's like, oh, this is not causing a problem. It's just a little thing. And then I think an alarm goes off or something, and they go back, and when I think Rose is installed the viewing room.
No, somebody knocked Rose out, didn't they? And
Rose is walking, and then the repeated me knocks her out and drags her back to the viewing room.
Locks her in there.
Yeah.
The doctor discovers the fried blue bloke, Stuart, and then realises that somebody else is also locked in.
Yeah. No, wait. And then Cassandra's like, join me to watch the Earth burn. Because it is like Earth Death in 10 minutes.
Yes.
And then he's like, let's put on a classic song. And it's like, Toxic, ain't it? It's like, dee, 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 dee. I thought it went really good with the Doctor and Rose relationship.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. He's like trying to get the steward out, but the steward's dead.
Mm.
And then he goes, there's another one just about to go off. And it goes off, doctor's like, is anybody in there? She goes, yes, it's me. He goes, oh, it has to be you, doesn't it? And he's like, stop mucking about, just get me out.
Mm.
And then he tries to do it, and it goes, sun filter, rising, sun filter, rising.
Mm.
And then it says, sun filter, lowering, starting. And then it goes back down. Yeah. And then he messes about with wires or something, and he fixes it anyway. And he said he's like, I can't get the door open, or some crap like that. And then goes back to where everybody else is,
mm-hmm.
with the little spider thing. And then Cassandra's like, I bet it's the face of Bo. Shame on you, Bo. Shame on you. Oh no, she was like, talk to the face. Talk to the face.
Yes. And then that's why he was in there, for that joke.
Yeah. Talk to the face. Talk to the face. And then Doctor gets the spider, and then it goes to the repeated main, and he's like, no, it's just a model, and pulls the arm out, which makes him clap. And then he goes, come on, Jimbo, go back to your mummy. And he goes under Cassandra. What's her reason for it? Oh, yeah, compensation money is really, really good, or something like that.
Yes, that's right.
Compensation money
is
really, really good. So that's why she's going to kill all of them. And then she uses teleportation to leave. And then Doctor's like, I can see who. And then they go back to where all the big fans are.
The fans of Doctor Who?
The big fans are.
Oh, sorry, right.
Where all... That's not funny. I hate it when you try to be funny.
Wasn't trying to be funny. It was funny. I wasn't trying to be funny.
It was genuinely funny.
No,
was it?
And then, your mum can hardly contain her laughter.
They go back to the fan room, but the fan is spinning really fast. The only way they can keep it down is when it's holding down by someone, but it's really, really hot. It can be held down by a human or Time Lord. And then, the tree person holds it down. She's like, no, you're burning us. She goes, yeah, I know. Just go and do it. Don't waste your time, Time Lord. And then he goes through the dishes.
Yes.
Yeah, which makes them go really, really slow. So he goes for it all until he gets to the last one.
Mm.
And then Jade Low like fires up and turns. Yeah.
She basically the heat makes her burst into flames.
Flames.
I think they call it.
And then
it,
the doctor. And it goes really, really fast. Combustion. And then the doctor, he's trying to jump through it.
Yeah.
But he can't. So he closes his eyes and he just
He does something mystic, doesn't
he? Yeah. He closes his eyes and just steps and he's there and he pulls a thing.
That was really cool, that bit.
Yeah. He
really
pulls
cool.
the things down, he's like, access shields! Boof!
Yeah. Too late though for Jabe.
And the shields are all like that, but the sun's already hit the people who's in the... A thing?
The people who's in the thing?
Yeah, face and burrow everybody is. It also hit them, so it's burned a few people up.
Like, yes.
Yeah, and then he's like walking back through the fans and he looks down and sees
what, through the
Doctor
Who fans? Right, like,
the burnt...
Siobhan Galashan and...
The birds!
Oh, sorry,
No, it's not funny!
It is!
It ain't!
That bit is.
Shut up!
The burnt, yeah, sorry, I got up to the burnt.
The burnt, Jabe, and then he walks off to find Rose with all the other people, and he's, like, really, really angry. So he does this angry walk, he goes, yeah, the probe blew it by, smashes the egg, turns it back, and then Cassandra... Oh, yeah, because this is when he's, like, really, really dark, ain't he?
Yeah.
And Rose changes him. And then she's like, moisturise me! Moisturise me! And she's like... She's, like, burning up. She goes... and then Rose's like, help her. And he's like, everything has its time and everything has its... And it's something. And then she bursts. And then he's, like, has angry face, like... And walks off. And tells the trees that Jabe's dead.
And they all grizzle.
I can't remember the next bit after that, but I remember when Doctor sees Rose looking at the rocks floating by.
Yes.
Don't she go, I think that's the Isle of Wight?
I don't know.
I think she does. I think she goes, I think that's the Isle of Wight, or something like that.
That would be good if it did. But I think, I don't know, did they?
What?
Apparently there's a rock flow by, and Alicia thinks that they said that, I think that's the Isle of Wight. Anyway, carry on.
Yeah. So they start talking, and she's like, the whole planet's gone. Nothing left. I'm the last human, so like that. And then they turn back up on Earth, and he's like, nothing's changed. It's all exactly the same as so and so. And then he's like, she's like, I smell chips.
Chips.
And he's like, Chips on me, spaceman, and walks off.
Thank you for that incredibly long, virtually the same length as the episode, synopsis. Do you know what a synopsis is supposed to be? Just a brief outlining of the story.
Right.
And we'll let you off the bit of cheating you did halfway through. So what do you think then, Alicia?
You're mean.
You think that the episode's mean?
You're mean.
Are you? No, I think, what do you mean to think of the episode?
You're mean.
Magic standing up for me there. So you're not going to say what you thought of it then? 5 seconds. 4, 3.
I liked it.
Right, there we go. So, yes.
It's one of the most episodes you can remember the whole of.
And also, it was probably the most, as far as this series goes, the one that cost the most money to make. Yeah. It did look spectacular, as the master would say. So side glance, because obviously me and the lads will be discussing this in more sensible and great detail shortly. Number one item on eBay this week is the Doctor Who Rare Collection of Unique Books, DVDs, Autographs. Still listed at £3,500. They're in cloud cuckoo land because no one's ever going to buy it at that price. If you were listening, you'd know what I was talking about. Mm-hmm. And as you weren't, I'm not going to tell you again. But the item with the most, well, with bids against it, the most expensive item is a BBC Danbury Mint Doctor Who TARDIS display with full 28x dot 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 dot. Right, let's have a look, see what that, exactly what that is, because I'm not quite sure. What do you think, Magic? What do you think? Okay, it's like that, is it? Yes, it's a BBC Danbury Mint Doctor Who TARDIS display and full 28 expansion chess set figures. Listed, Deborah, £510.
More money
than sent. And a postage of £13.77. See, people like Doctor Who.
Do they?
Do they really?
Yes.
Do they?
That's the top item, the most expensive item with bids against.
I think.
Number two. is collectible Doctor Who Dalek toy model by Dennis Fisher. A rather odd-looking Dalek with a red head. Obviously from the 60s. That's got 20 bids against it, currently listed at... How much would you say that's worth?
I didn't hear you. Sorry.
Collectible Doctor Who Dalek toy model from Dennis Fisher from the 1960s. It's boxed. Brand new, but... Well, not brand new, but it's still in its box.
Stupid price of £200, I think.
Boy.
£437 plus £4.50 postage. Right. And the last item with bids against is Doctor Who Dalek half size. Look! It's a half size Dalek built by someone with lots of things. Currently listed, please, Deborah.
Oh, shut up.
At £284 with two bids against it. Thank you, Magic. Yeah. I got a toy, didn't I? It's just dropped off its doodle. What toy did I get this week?
What toy did I get?
Isabella.
Floating
She's nowhere near the camera. A hovering magnetic doodah TARDIS. It's absolutely superb, isn't it, Alicia?
No. Boys with their toys.
It's brilliant. But it was because its normal price was like 20-odd quid.
That sounds a bit rude, actually, doesn't it?
Sure. It's normal.
My friend, she said she's going to do work experience in Anne Summers.
What's that got to do with it?
You know why? Yeah, no. And Marcel goes to me, I think I might do work experience in Anne Summers. I think I know why you're doing there.
I said that, maybe.
Anyway, what was I on about before?
I don't know.
Hey, Dad, how would you like me to do work experience and who won?
It's fine. I don't think they'd like to have you there, but that would be good, yeah. I think he'd probably like to have the help. What do you think of Doctor Who? Alright, alright, I was only asking. Dear me. I thought you liked it. You do? You do?
He's a miserable git, just like his owner.
What do you think of... What do you think of Torchwood?
Oh, dear.
What about Merlin? You like anything you've grown up? Why are you wrinkling up your lips and showing me your teeth for?
He's a miserable git, isn't he? Really is a miserable git, dog. Really is. Well, it's still going.
Sounds like a motorbike revving its engine, doesn't it? Alicia?
Yes?
Back to the podcast. Now, remember we watched some of the extras. Will you come over here?
I am over here.
Some of the extras on Series 6 DVD box
set. Yes, we did. I fell asleep, but yeah.
No, you didn't. You watched all four of the extra little mini episodes.
Oh, the mini episodes. Those were good.
And weren't they superb?
Yeah, they were amazing.
They were worth the getting the box set for in itself. Because we... What were the four episodes? You can't speak all of a sudden.
Nightmares... No, good night, bad night.
Yeah.
What's the other one?
What does Cybertron remember what they were? Because obviously, there was a conversation between the Doctor and Amy, and then there was
a one with River.
Yeah, that was the last one, wasn't it? When River.
Oh yeah, she was like
comes and meets
you. He was comes to meet the Doctor for the first night.
Yeah.
No. Good night, bad night, first night, last night.
Yeah. Because first night, last night is where the River comes onto into the TARDIS on her first night.
And then
she comes in again just before she dies.
Yeah.
And both Doctors are together.
No, she doesn't die. It's the last time the
Doctor sees her. Before she dies. But the older Doctor says... Doesn't the younger Doctor say to her, you say that this is when she's just about to die?
Yeah.
To the older Doctor. I thought they were brilliant little scenes, those. I was really, really enjoyed those. I think you should watch Mummy. They're just little Doctor Who episodes that were never shown on telly, but they're very... They are relevant to the canon.
Time.
Oh, well. But what do you think, Alicia?
Like some people.
They've got to be seen, haven't they, really?
Yeah, they're really, really good.
Yeah.
It explains a lot as well.
It does, especially about the more little bits to do with the River Song timeline, which they hadn't shown on the... River Song timeline.
Really upset are you two?
No, well, she gets upset herself. Don't you, Isabella?
Yes.
Mm. The forthcoming release, or maybe just been released, DVD, which is the unit set, has features two episodes I do not have in my collection, Deborah Doodoos. Oh, so that makes it even more worth getting. No, I haven't got them. I do not have the two episodes properly in my collection of those particular stories because they were on videos that weren't copyable. So
I
need to get them. They're out on DVD. It contains the Invasion of Dinosaurs and the Android Invasion.
Oh, it's your birthday,
isn't it? And I want
them. I'm getting you that for your birthday.
I want them.
I
want them. And I want also Doctor Who Magazine issue 443, which contains... I think it contains Tom Baker playing the Doctor on a Big Finish production. I want it.
Yeah. I want to lie.
The BBC have relaunched the script to screen competition, which they showed on Doctor Who Confidential last year. Don't know how they're going to manage to do it this time, because Doctor Who Confidential doesn't exist anymore. But I'll probably be doing it via Blue Peter or something like that. And that concludes Alicia's part in the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast for this week. Isabella, would you like to sing a song?
What's her daughter called?
She's shaking her head. She's in a sulk this week. Sorry.
What's her daughter called though?
I don't know. Thank you. Thank you, Alicia. See you again next week.
Bye.
You're going to be on the show next week?
Yeah.
Good. Bye then.
Bye.
This is Toby Whithouse, and you're listening to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
And I finally managed to corner... Oh, sorry, what's your name again?
Isabella.
Who, earlier on in the show, was not in a particularly good mood because somebody had upset you. I can't remember what they'd done to upset you. Do you remember?
Day.
Yesterday?
I think you and Liz may be upset.
So you didn't really want to partake in the show. But yesterday morning, you did watch an episode of Doctor Who. Would you like to tell listeners about the episode you watched?
It was about the end of the world.
And you remember what happened in it?
The sun comes right in the ship.
Right.
And everyone... Everyone was all monsters.
Oh, hang on. Oh, that's right. Everyone was all monsters.
Yeah.
Right. Any particular...
The Doctor... terrible.
Were any of the monsters scary?
Yeah. All of them were.
Excuse me.
All of them was.
All of them?
Yeah.
Which was your favourite monster?
The lovely lady.
Which was the lovely lady?
The blue one. The blue lady.
Oh, the blue lady? I don't remember any blue ladies.
There was a blue lady in there.
Was there? You mean the one right at the beginning got killed by the little spider creature?
Yes.
You liked her? The one with the hat?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And I liked the one with the beautiful dress on. A dress on.
What, Jade of the tree?
Yes.
You liked her too?
Yeah.
What do you think of Cassandra, the flat one that looked like a trampoline?
She looks sweet.
Pardon?
She looks like evil.
She did, did she?
Yeah, she looks evil.
So what happened in the story, do you remember?
No.
No, okay. What did you think of this one then? Did you like it?
Yeah.
You did?
Yep.
Cool. And wasn't scary?
Nope.
Okay. And are you going, do you feel up to singing a song this week just for Dan Van Kylenberg's son?
Yeah.
Go on in.
I don't know what song I can sing, Daddy.
What about the songs that you normally get me to play you at bath time? Any songs? No?
I don't know what I will sing.
Well, I'm sure that Dan Van Kylenberg's son
okay.
will be...
Oh, here we go. Dooby doo, where are you? We got some work to do now. Scooby dooby doo, where are you? We need some help from you now. Come on, Scooby doo. I see you, the visit you got a sliver. You're after to me, cause I can't see, cause when you shake and shiver. And though we got a mystery, some Scooby Doo ran for your ass. Don't hold back, there's Scooby Doo and you can ready for you have yourself a Scooby snack. Not so fast, Scooby Dooby Doo, where are you? You're ready and you're living. If we can count on you, Scooby-Doo, I know you can't dance with us.
Thank you very much, Isabella. Always nice having you on the show.
And I like singing that song.
Good. See you next week.
No, again, another song.
No. Another song, that, think of one for next week. Bye. Don't sulk. Bye.
No.
Hello, my name's Toby Haydock, which will probably excite and annoy in equal measure. You're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Continue so to do.
Right, to the less sensible part of the show, and I have with me Mr. Ben Shoveler.
Hello.
Mr. Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Warren Gooding. Oh, good morning.
Good grief. And Mr. Rhys Parton.
Hi there.
And Mr. Robert Haynes is not here because he's still in hospital.
Oh dear!
In the merry old land of Oz.
But he's always positive about stuff. I've been having messages from his brother on Facebook, who's keeping me posted on how he's getting on. But he was hoping to come home this weekend, but didn't quite work out for him. So he's just staying in for a bit longer to make sure he's all right. So love you, Robert.
Miss you.
Get well soon.
Admire your work, Robert. Wouldn't go so far as to say love you. I'm not so much more sexual as David Pearson, obviously.
So, yes, before we move on to the subject that me and Alicia, as Aunt Isabella to a certain degree, have discussed, it might be a good idea to crack on with some emails, etc., etc. Now, how about the charts first, Ben? Have you got the charts?
I can speak in my normal voice now that it's come back. Okay,
it's like
taken a while.
Yes, well, it's been 2 years, you know, now, and now it's finally returned to how it should. This chart looks a bit funny this week. I should point that out before we start.
Why does it?
Well, you'll see why. Well, maybe hear why, as we count down the top 30 Doctor Who podcasts. At number 30, it's down 11 for the Whostorian. At 29, it's down 11. For the Sonic Toolbox. At 28, it's down 11 for Drunken Time Travel. And at 27, does anyone want to guess how many places the Cultum Collective has gone down this week?
Well, I thought it might be a better idea to try and guess how many fathoms you've gone down underwater.
Under the sea.
11?
11. At 26, a re-entry for Telos AM. 25 is down 10 for Earth Station 1. And at 24,
hey. 10. Hey. Earth Station 1's pretty cool. I was out with them yesterday.
Were you?
Yeah. Sorry. I think Kirby might be plugging another podcast again, you know.
Yeah.
I've had enough of that. I mean, I want to know how many other podcasts have been nominated with the best presenter. In the- oh, did we mention that yet? Did we mention that?
Had
we mentioned that fact yet, that somebody on this podcast has been nominated as
Alicia was able to point out that somebody other than me that, on this podcast was mentioned in that particular thing.
Well, yeah.
Carry
back
on.
To the chart.
Back to the chart.
Yes.
Okay, where did we get to? There we go. That's Station 1, who are apparently very nice people, but not... we've done 24.
I posted a picture of them on Facebook yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah.
23 is a re-entry for the Time Medalers. This is because people couldn't be bothered. These are the people who couldn't be bothered to record a podcast over Christmas and New Year and just kind of like...
It's witchy underwater now.
Sorry, I'm just drowning the wife.
Is your soapbox actually underwater? Because it seems every time you go on a rant, that's when you seem to duck under the surface.
I don't know. It must be something to do with the internet connection, but I don't know. I've got no idea. Or Skype just being crap.
That's another possibility.
22 is the Untempered Schism. 21, a re-entry of the Galacast from France. 20, another person who couldn't be bothered over Christmas, the Time Vault. And at number 19, why would they bother over Christmas? They'd be too busy drinking beer and eating frankfurters at Stone. Who cast from Germany? Not, of course, at all, being stereotypical and xenophobic.
No, not at all.
No.
Not at all. At 18, a re-entry for the DWO Torchcast. 17 is a re-entry for the Penis Patrol. At 16 is down 3 for Articles of the Shadow Proclamation. At 15, a re-entry for Bigger on the Inside. And at 14, is down 3 for Ian Todd World. 13, a re-entry for Sand on Sight. 12, a re-entry for Doctor Who. Who's he? And at number 11, it's down 1 for Bad Wit. Number 10, down 1 for Staggering Sorry. Number 9, a re-entry for the Pharos Project.
Pharos Project.
No, but I said 3 words. There's 3 words there, and I said them all wrong. So we'll do that again. At number, you can see why I've been nominated as the best presenter.
Oh, yeah.
Things like that. At number 9 is a re-entry for the Pharos Project. Number 8, it's down 2 for Mostly Hums, Cutaway. And at 7, a re-entry for Adventures in Time, Space and Music. I'm getting quite scared because we've got to number 7, and we haven't been on yet. Number 7 is a re-entry for Rome.
Dropped up the bottom. Space
and Music. Number 6 is a re-entry for the Amiga Podcast. And at number 5, up 2 for the 20 Megabyte Dog Food Podcast.
Yay! Yay!
I think I've just realised I am being a little bit hypocritical in the fact that I keep on saying to everyone, don't mention other podcasts, and I'm reading out every other podcast. I'm saying a little bit of, I could be Prime Minister. Anyway, number 4, a re-entry for the Doctor Who cast, couldn't be bothered over Christmas. Number 3, a re-entry for the Doctor Who cast, had nothing to talk about over Christmas. And at number 2, up 2 for Radio 3 Scaro, which means this week, at 1 to number 1, is the Doctor Who podcast, who kind of got a bit of a jump start on everyone by getting that name.
Well, the thing is, though, they got that name quite a long time after lots of other podcasts had actually started up. And how the fact that none of the other podcasts managed to think of the idea of using the name the Doctor Who podcast is quite astounding, really.
It shows how stupid we all are.
Yeah, but it's the only one called the Doctor Who podcast.
Yeah, but maybe we should rename this as the Doctor Who podcast.
Or not, as the case.
How about a Doctor Who podcast?
Yeah,
good one.
A to Z of Doctor Who podcasting.
All right, then. So that's the charts. Now, you did sort of rather slightly mention a nomination that you have had. Now, these nominations have been devised by Mr. M, and have included a limited amount of podcasts. I think, and I'm quite suspicious, they might be the podcasts he actually listens to.
They are.
So all the other podcasts like Podshock and that aren't actually eligible in this particular... Although he does say you can nominate your own entries to this particular thing. But it's still a nomination for an award. And I'm counting it.
Have you been nominated?
Not for the award that I should have been, which is the one you got nominated for, but I'm not.
It's funny that being a co-presenter, getting nominated for main presenter awards, being the best one. I mean, I'm not saying anything, Adam, at all, obviously, but the roles that we all take part in this podcast and how you let me get on your podcast.
I have no, let's just go, show, I've got no control how these nominations work.
Well, you say that.
But the Who and the Who is the Man podcast has also been mentioned amongst the nominees, or is it nominees?
It's from, basically, it says voting will close on Sunday, Saturday, the 31st of March, 2012. And the award will be announced on Monday, the 9th of April, 2012.
On bated breath. Alicia was really interested.
These awards? What are they?
She says, do I get an actual award, she said. Oh, we get a
verb. Well, I wondered if I win a TARDIS, because that would be my selected prize if I do.
I hope it'll be nice if we do get something.
A working one, not like some.
I was assuming one. Assuming that actually win the.
Well, award. What we get is we get a mention on every single podcast he sent this email to as the winner.
Oh, that's right.
Well, is someone going to mention what award this is?
Well, I'm trying to get it to come up on my computer.
Podcaster award.
I've got my email open.
Go on.
This says, and so it's time for the second annual podcast awards.
See.
This time there's a twist.
At the Grosvenor House Hotel. Sorry, yeah, go on.
Yes, the Grosvenor House Hotel, Isle of Wight. which is actually a 3-bedroom travel lodge, but they like to talk it up. this time there's a twist. It says you can vote, and by you I mean the listeners, the readers, and those of you who make the podcast themselves. To vote, all you need to do is send me your preferences for who you think should win each category.
But does he include his email address? He says send it to him.
He does.
Oh, he does.
Yes, he does. And this is the thing, listeners, podgrammers, and podcasters.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you need to do. You need to email brandon.simpsons, as in the Simpsons. Not Simpson, plural, at tiskely.co, that's singular, .co.uk. So brandon.simpson at tiskely.co.uk and say Ben should win everything.
That's even though Ben isn't nominated for everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. If you're a podcaster, you cannot vote for yourself. I'm guessing he means vote there. Or for your podcast. I shouldn't be taking the mickey out of him, really, considering he's the one who's going to be giving the awards away. And it's the best email I've ever read, ever, and so I'll say Brandon.Simpson is probably the best person on the world.
Yeah.
Apart from me.
Brandon.Simpson.
Yeah. Yes, well, that's what I called him from now on. That's what they called him in class, apparently. The teacher stood at the front and said, Brandon.Simpson! Anyway, we can also encourage people to vote at brandon.simpson@tiskly.co.uk for Ben is everything. You can vote. Anyone who replies to me will also be entered into a draw to win a copy of Doctor Who, the Time Traveller's Almanac, which, if you've seen Back to the Future, may not be a great idea to try and win it, because you might get Biff coming back in his time machine trying to steal it from you and then making lots of money taking you into a different reality, which might not be a good idea. But that might only be a film. You don't have to vote for every category. There are lots, but try to vote for as many as you can. Shall we have a look at the categories?
Yes.
Can someone give me a URL to look at?
No, it's an email.
This is an email, which I will...
Only an email.
Yeah, okay. I'll try and get it to you. But it'll be a nice surprise to you, won't it, when you hear what the nominees are.
It will be. The first category is Best Female Podcaster.
Now, this is the only one, before you start, that I hope we don't win for the sake of I'll never hear the end of it. Continue.
The first category is Best Female Podcaster. What's Nomination 1, Fake Keith from Staggering Stories. Number 2, Alicia Pearson for the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Are they that desperate? I want a pizza! Does that win? I want a pizza.
Give her a pizza.
She quite likes her.
Maybe that'll be a prize, mate. Give her a pizza. Also nominated is Vicky from the Flashing Blade.
Or as he puts it, as the Flashing Blade.
Oh, yeah. The Harshing Blade.
The Flashing, yeah. The Flashing Blade.
And also Jean Riddler from Staggering Stories. Hold on, how many people? There's two from Staggering Stories.
Yeah, they're stacking the deck there.
Magic!
The next one, too.
Cool, Magic's just sort of stunk the whole room out, you sod. God's sake. Carry on.
What a lovely doggy smell that is we're getting through the podcast lines today. What a shame it's not smelly podcast.
Hurry up.
Yeah, sorry, a best male podcaster was the next
best male
category.
Podcaster. A, Adam J. Purcell from Staggering Stories. B, Real Keith from Staggering Stories.
I think there's a bit of bias going on here. Go on.
Might be. Also nominated, Dave Keep from the DWO Who cast, and a certain... He's the winner, folks. Ben Shoveler from the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Right.
Vote Ben. Vote Ben. That email address vote again, Ben. By the way, is yeah. Brandon.Simpson. I'm not at all bothered if I win, but Brandon.Simpson at tiskily.co.uk, Ben Shoveler, best male podcast of 2010, 11, 12. Sorry, were you
before
trying to say
you go on to the next... Yeah, it was. Before okay. you go on to the next nominee, let's just change that name. That name's now Siobhan Galichon, not Tony.
Yes, but obviously he must have written these out before, because I think Siobhan changed her name before, or basically on New Year, wasn't it? I think that's when that happened. So he's becoming a she, yes.
Really?
Oh, for God's sake.
Yes.
That's brilliant timing.
It's like
that's not
timing there. It's like a cliffhanger. Really? Boom!
That's me.
That was like the best cliffhanger of any right. podcast ever.
Hello.
And I think I'll probably win just for that.
Okay, bye-bye.
Anyway, we'll continue with Pest Overall Podcaster.
Yes.
Hold on a minute.
What?
There seems to be some sort of error.
What?
Where?
In Pest Overall Podcast.
Yeah, Pest. Now, this was spotted earlier on by Alicia. Well, by me, but yeah. I mentioned it to Alicia. She thought it actually was correct. It was Pest Overall Podcaster.
Nomination A is Tony Galichon.
Or Siobhan Galichon, as we outlined.
Second is Adam Pearson from the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Mm.
C is Reese Parton from Too
from
Many
the Too Many to Name podcast. Now, is that another one you're doing now, Reese?
Hold on a minute.
That's a fifth one. What's going on?
These are getting far too obscure. Who is this guy?
I don't know, but the one thing that's concerning me more than anything is that there seems to be a nomination that's fallen off the bottom of this, because there's only three. So
yeah, that's a good point, but what happened to the Staggering Stories, who seem to be sort of nominated for every other award, but for the best overall podcaster, they've managed to slip through the net somewhere along the line.
I'm putting a D in for this one.
Which is?
Is Ben Shoveler.
That's a B.
No, I want to put an E in for this. That's Isabella Pearson from the 20 Megabyte .3 podcast.
I can't work out how I haven't made the shortlist for that one.
And an E,
I
mean, Magic Pearson from the 20 Megabyte .3 podcast.
Renamed as Trumper.
Yes, very much so.
They seem to have missed me off. No. Maybe Podgrammers, what you should do is email brandon.simpson@tiskly.co.uk and say you seem to have missed off Ben Shoveler from Pest Overall Podcast.
No.
Maybe you should nominate him. Pretty sure he'd been with his fan base of four.
Fan base.
Which will probably be enough votes to win. Anyway, best edition of a podcast is any individual episode of a podcast of your choice. What's been our best episode?
Oh, I don't know.
Probably the first one after Alicia left.
She never left. There have been a few.
Yeah, but there are some on here who do that. Then we've got the best podcast of us, obviously, as well as Staggering Stories,
Flashing Blade, and DWO Torchcast. That's hardly...
I've worked out also how we could win another award, because another award is available for the special award, the Best New Podcast. Best new podcast. So maybe if we change our name to the new 20 might take that.
the new 20 Megabyte
Doctor Who podcast, then we might have a chance of that one as well. The special award, well, we can try and win that too. And then it's just lots of things.
Isn't that just guaranteed with me on the show? Part of four podcasts.
No, we after this, he moves on to do with the show Doctor Who. So I think we'll move away from that particular email. But thank you, Mr. M, and I hope we win all the awards. Yeah. And get a nominated through the others we should have been, like Best American Podcaster on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast. That would be a good one, wouldn't
that kind
it,
of award, yeah.
Yeah.
What about Best Podcaster sat at home with his hair in a towel after just getting out of the shower at 11 o'clock every Monday morning award? I mean, that's got to be me.
So
that'll
be the fifth nomination for Ben, right?
Well, you know, I'm a little... Obviously, I'm pleased with my nomination. You know, I think it shows, obviously, the work and the effort that... someone's put into listening to one of these podcasts, so thanks for that. Obviously none of the work I put into it, because my role consists of sitting down and talking for an hour and a half, which I'm quite good at normally. But, you know, a little bit disappointed I didn't make the pest control one.
Pest control?
Yeah, the pest control award.
Oh, right.
Wasn't that what it was?
Something like that, yeah.
Ah, Cybermat. Killed it, you see? See, killed a Cybermat. Therefore, I should be in the pest control award one.
So anyway, moving on to continuing the email section of the show. Did you get that email in the end, Rhys?
I did.
Hey! And it's from Mary Lang.
Mary.
Yes.
Mary says, Happy New Year to... Big intake of breath. Adam, Alicia, Isabella, Ben, Robert, hope you're there. Kirby, Rhys, and the voice of Ian. Not reason.
What about the pest
Not
the voice of reason.
First off, I hope Ben is not reading this. Oh, that's not very nice. So much... of what
Thanks
he reads.
For your votes, Mary.
So much of what he reads ends up in Audible because he goes underwater, as you all say. Some good comments by your fans are interrupting Rhys by... No,
no one interrupts Rhys.
Up in the reading. But that doesn't seem to happen when he does the charts. So what does he do differently with the feedback email? Or mail, even. Besides the bad accents, I mean.
Oi,
what bad accent.
She's actually made me think of something here. Right? The Americans, I've been listening to a podcast where seem to be reviewing Colin Baker stories recently, and they're really going into Nicola Bryant's terrible American accent. But they're not taking into account the awful English accents that we've had to put up with on American shows for millions of years. And
May I also mention
James Doohan's Scottish accent for Scotty on Star Trek, which is diabolical. Yet they moan and grumble about poor Nicola Bryant, who was thrown in at the deep end doing an accent she wasn't really accustomed to. But, you know, that's all I want to say. I'm off the soapbox.
Yeah, well, all I'm going to add to that, Adam, is I completely agree with you, but it just shows how stupid some people are. Because if Americans actually think we're interested in what Nicola Bryant sounds like, when there's Nicholas Knox to be looking at.
Yeah, also, some people, I can't remember why, put some lovely pictures of Nicola Bryant on, and I said, put them on the Nicholas Knox page. And I don't think there's one with a lovely picture of her with something wispy coming out of her bikini. Anyway, do you want to continue with the email?
I'm actually really amazed that you've just told me that Nicola Bryant did Doctor Who in an American accent. I had no idea before. I've never even heard it.
She doesn't like Nicholas Knox page, so we won't mention that anymore.
Okay.
And she says, okay, the Christmas special. My first viewing left me lukewarm, mostly, I think, because I was looking for something spectacular. Like last year, I watched with a sappy simple tale instead and felt let down. I shopped around and downloaded several podcasts to hear how others felt, and with the exception of your podcast and Staggering Stories, everyone else seemed to feel the same way. But because those two podcasts are so much into the childlike delight of the Doctor's antics and the emotions of the story, I gave it a second chance and enjoyed the episode much, much more.
May I interject?
What do we think of that?
Because, I did notice that Siobhan Galichon and a few others scathing about this particular story. And two out of the three presenters on the Doctor Who podcast, exactly the same. But Tom from the Doctor Who podcast, I think is probably the most intelligent member of that particular team, liked it.
The London Eye. He's become such an icon of... Damn. It has become such an icon of London's landscape that TV and film producers use it all the time to identify the city with its breathtaking sight. Breathtaking sight.
Are we talking about Nicholas Knox again? Sorry, I
apparently.
No.
All
right, sorry.
Anyway, yes. But I never knew. I'm going to shut up if you interrupt me.
I didn't. I just said yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But I never knew what it was called, so I looked it up. So I could look it up and find out what it was. I was so glad Kirby asked about it, and I had some impression...
The same impression.
...that it was never moving.
She said she had the same impression that it was never moving. Sorry, I was just editing what you said.
One of the reasons I brought it up is...
This is the first time I have read this.
Fair enough.
One of the reasons I brought it up, I just pulled off of my bookshelf next to me here a book which... was printed before the London Eye was created, called Ferris Wheels, an Illustrated History by Norman Anderson.
Good God, that must be a riveting read.
Oh, let's see, it's 400 and...
Oh my God.
How many pages?
Oh dear.
407 pages of the history of the Ferris wheel. So there.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm pathetic.
Right, where do we get up to?
Clive. Now I know that it moves too slowly for the camera to catch it in a short space of a shot. I also enjoyed it being used as the transmitter in the Rose episode.
Yes, indeed.
It took me some time to get used to Christopher Eccleston. Why is there a question mark there? Anyway.
Because she didn't know whether she spelt it right.
Okay, but she did. Mind you, I read Christopher when she wrote Chris.
Oh, that doesn't matter.
Anyway. Okay.
Yeah.
I discovered New Who when my teenager was watching Vampires in Venice, and I sat down to watch it with her. So I knew Matt Smith first and had to watch the reruns of the previous two Doctors to catch up with the series. Eccleston felt way too intense at first, and didn't seem to lighten up until Captain Jack joins up with him and Rose. Beg your pardon?
No comment.
Yeah, exactly. but Rose does seem to have a softening influence on him as their adventures continue. Even in the episode with Cassandra, when Cassandra is about to die, he is remorseless and doesn't offer her a way out, like the 10th Doctor will eventually do with his enemies. That's because he regrets that sort of thing.
But he did, though, in Rose, didn't he? He offered the Nestine a way out, but he didn't with Cassandra. Carry on, sorry. Just commenting.
The end of the world. What already?
Mm. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, you geeks. Were many of the visitors to the platform creatures from past episodes?
No.
No. I think I recognised Blue Wormy Guy on the rolling platform from Caves of Androzani.
Really?
No.
No.
Or one of the classic Who's Adam directed us to watch. I wouldn't quite say directed.
Ordered, more like.
Yes. Yes, ordered.
No, after the Mox of Balhoon was burned to a crisp, he later reincarnated as Banacafalata.
That's quite funny, talking about the Mox of Balhoon bit, where I know we're going to talk about this in a minute, but where he spits at Rose, that had Alicia laughing out loud, and she has watched the episode loads of times, but she just the reaction of Billy Piper when she gets spat in the eye is brilliant, but carry on.
My girls have the same reaction when they see that section.
But who were the others? Nobody.
No, sorry.
And I distinctly heard in the conversations going on, after the introduction, a mention of the Bad Wolf Project.
Really?
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yes, there's one in every episode this year.
Was it in this episode?
There wasn't in this one.
And there wasn't in Rose either.
Right.
There's a mention in The End of the World. Definitely. What,
of Bad Wolf?
Yes, there is.
Yes.
Just said it. Basically, she heard a mention of it.
Yeah, fair enough.
I didn't.
I really enjoyed Rose's comfort with her situation, not knowing the Doctor very well yet and not being sure she made the right decision to come along. Do you think Moffat will bring Captain Jack back to resolve the Face of Bone mystery?
No,
he won't do because it was a Russell T. Davis thing, and he's jealous of Russell T. Davis because it looks like Russell T. Davis actually knew what he was doing when he was inside the Doctor Who instead of making it up as he goes along.
Here we go.
Anyway.
Yes, that.
Good point, Ben.
Yeah. Thank you.
As Ian says, that's all for now.
Thank you, Mary. Brilliant feedback. Brilliant stuff. But we've got more, Ben. Have you got Richard Culp's
more Ben
email?
There's never enough Ben, if you ask me. that's what the wife says. No, yes, I have Richard Culp's email, which is just loading up onto my incredibly fast computer. Right, here we go. This one is, as mentioned, from Richard the Culp.
Yeah.
Saying greetings to the 20 Medda. Good God.
Do you want to start that one again?
Yeah, we might have to edit that. so people don't think I'm like not good enough to be.
Yeah, and it might affect your abilities to win the award. Yeah,
exactly. Thingy at whatsit.co.uk. anyway, greetings to the 20 megabyte Podgram. Yes, winks to Ben.
Just have to prove that I actually do listen to the podcast, which is actually more than I do. It goes... while I do wish to be able to watch the stories, I'm afraid I am more focused on the classic run of the show, which I have... God, I really can't read.
None of us can.
Would you like me to help you?
No, okay. I'm quite all right. I need to work out which words are English and which ones seem to be appearing in Gallifreyan. Actually, what I'm going to do is, because my eyes aren't apparently working yet, is I'm just going to open it up in a Microsoft Word file.
Right, while I do wish to be able to watch the stories, I am afraid I am more focused on the classic Rumble show, which I have a hard time trying to make time for. Fortunately, not a great gulf of time has passed.
And you don't have a hard time going underwater.
It's funny, on the 100th anniversary of the Titanic coming up, and that capsizing of that ship, yes. And it's rather sort of an apt thing at the moment, isn't it?
But not really, because there are some major differences between the people who are going, it's just like the Titanic.
Yeah, it's just like they did. It plummeted like 2 miles under the surface of the water. Yeah, there it is, capsized. And they basically walked to shore. Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, it's just like the Titanic, where every 13 people died or something. And how many people died? So far, 5.
Yeah. How many people were nominated on that list?
Exactly. How many people on that boat have actually been nominated for a podcast award, I'd guess? So therefore, are they important? I'd say no. Anyway, fortunately...
That's not necessarily the views of the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast listeners.
I think you'll find they are. That's what they've been broadcast on. Fortunately, not a great gulf of time has passed to fade the story from my mind. 15 years plus, as opposed to 7 years, are easy to deal with, but please forgive me if I do make mistakes, as I'm going off memory of a story I watched 7 years ago. I am only human. Well, we'll have to do that check the two hearts thing to make sure that's true, Rick. He continues.
Yes.
What I can say about the first story to launch Doctor Who back into our lives. Well, in one short, concise statement, it was rubbish. No. The drum roll. It was brilliant, he says. Love him or hate him.
Woo!
You can cross that bit out. Love him. Russell T. Davis did a spectacular job for the first episode.
He did.
Anybody who doesn't like Russell T. Davis is Stephen Moffat. That might be true. It might not. Other writers
are. No, he does.
He gave us a story that appealed to the old fans of the show as well as to lure in the new fans, much like the very first episode of William Hartnell. Rose gave a very clear picture of what the show was going to do. It had all the information neatly wrapped up into a single story and did not overwhelm the viewer in any way. Well, because it was kind of a pilot episode. Most importantly, he did not make the mistake of the Doctor Who Fox movie and show us a regeneration from McCoy to McGann. Yeah.
They've already done that, though, so they couldn't.
Well, exactly. Sure, the old fans would not have minded seeing a regeneration, but new viewers would have been confused or perhaps turned off by such a sight. Well, they always did say that, didn't they? You know, what are they going to do? Or whatever. The choice in villain by using the Autons was also a brilliant stroke. For one thing, it was a definitive tie-in to the classic serial we all love, as well as a brilliant choice for new viewers. I can easily see how they were chosen to perhaps entice new viewers into taking a look back at the older episodes if they enjoyed the story. For old fans, just for myself, it was fun to catch the little throwbacks to the old serial, especially the one about the TARDIS with Dan in the Hordes of the Khan. Thank you for pointing that out. I didn't catch that at the time, and had not yet listened to the Marco Polo story. That little hidden gem will have me smiling next time I watch Rose. Well, something else makes me smile when I watch Rose. The one that you're watching.
Yeah.
Overall, my impression of the first story was... He's done a visual impression, so you can't see it. He does, right. Overall, my impression of the first story was one of great joy at seeing the old show return and rekindling my interest in watching an old friend return to the TV in the new adventures, as well as want to revisit the old ones from the past. A glorious new journey was started, and Rose was the first step of that journey, and a damn good one at that. Until next week.
Keep up the great work, guys.
Thank you, Richard.
And go underwater some more.
Yeah, you recorded a submarine, Ben.
Yeah, it's a funny thing, though. You know, a couple of weeks ago when I was able to have four tracks from you lot and able to edit each individual track, even on Ben's audio track, he went underwater. So I don't think it is the
internet. Then.
It must be the microphone on this laptop.
Maybe. But it's better than nothing.
I tell you what, if I win the award for the... when I win the award for best podcast presenter and generally best person on the planet, maybe...
Uh-huh. Well, surely it just should be best underwater podcaster. That's a very, very good possibility you might win that one.
Well, that's a good category. I mean, with that, maybe my prize should be a new laptop that actually works.
What, a waterproof one, or...?
I don't care. This one, I'll find out. I'll tell you what, if you buy me a new laptop, I'll find out if this one's waterproof.
I have some audio feedback, you may be surprised here, from Ian Kirk.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast.
Hello!
Podcasts are cool. This is 2012, and we are talking about the end of the world. A well-done episode. The actors and the CGI are very good. The aliens were blue. Most aliens seem to be blue these days. There is a spiky red alien, Bani Capilata, and his green cousins. The bit with the giant spinning fan blades was a bit silly. There is no mention of Bad Wolf yet. Chips were mentioned last week, and again this week. When the Doctor teleported Cassandra back again, she was talking, in a racist fashion, about how she had doomed the aliens. Since she is the last human, I wonder who she was talking to. The face of Bo is rumoured to be Captain Jack. John Barrowman has a big head. Perhaps it would just keep getting bigger. Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian.
You know, like some food manufacturers, when they're making chicken and other meats, they inject the meat with water to pad out the meat to make it bigger. Then when you put it then in water, it expands even further. And as Captain Jack said, or the face of Bo's head is in a big pickle jar. Do you think that's what happened? It went in normal size and it's just like got bigger and bigger as it, like the water seeped through it.
Well, hopefully they'll explain one day. Right then, so finally we're able to get onto the subject in hand, which is an episode of Doctor Who called The End of the World. So,
And I feel fine.
Yeah, it's just somebody did point out it's very apt that being 2012 and we're watching this episode in the year that is supposed to sort of indicate the end of the world.
What?
Also,
yes? The world isn't going to end.
Was that the voice of God?
Well, she thinks so.
Or is that the wife?
Yeah, a bit of both.
Same thing.
Anyway. So, yes, basically, they've got this...
Also, hang on.
Yeah, go on, then.
Dalek, the story we're going to talk about later, is set in 2012.
Oh, cool. So, basically, on this... go on.
The Olympics are taking place in
2012.
Yeah,
all right, thank you, yes. And so that means we've got to look forward to Chloe Webber and her sort of tiny alien.
Chloe! Tell you what else is happening in 2012.
David Tennant's running with the Olympic flame.
Better happen.
I'm talking about the Olympic. I have actually held the Olympic torch. Didn't have it switched on at the time, but me and Isabella have had our picture taken with the Olympic torch at the Isle of Wight Festival. I think it was last year, actually. So they're on one of the Facebook things.
Yeah, I saw that.
You did. Doesn't she look cute? Yeah. I'm talking about Elizabeth, obviously, not the Olympic torch.
Yes.
But anyway, right, this particular episode, that begins with an external shot of the space station thing. What's it called again?
Station One.
Is it?
Yes.
And basically it's sort of like a viewing platform at the moment for the explosion of the sun. Is it?
This episode starts, at least my DVD starts.
Yes, with a recap.
I
know, I'm not really interested in recaps. But they did pick it up rather well because when they ended with Rose slow motion running into the TARDIS and then she's running into the TARDIS where they picked the story up from. So basically it's straight afterwards. But yeah, that's the only thing I wanted to
say.
Well,
I like this because the reason I bring it up is here we have a show that a lot of people are not necessarily familiar with. Yes. So doing the recap this way very cleverly was...
very clever.
Good, yeah.
But anyway, right, so what I'm saying, I was trying to point out this shot they have of the external thing of this space station thing with the sun sort of glowing in the background. It just looked really good. Obviously, they plumbed quite a lot of money into this particular sequence of special effects. I have heard it mentioned that it's the most expensive episode of the whole series.
Really?
Yeah. But it worked well because it really did sort of set the scene and it started off really nicely.
It was the most time-consuming too because of that.
Somebody said, was this not the first one they shot, this particular one? Or was it? I can't remember. But it wasn't. The first three episodes weren't shot in sequence, were they?
Right. I believe that the first sections that were shot were inside the TARDIS at the very beginning, where Chris Eccleston is running around turning knobs and stuff.
Yes. But anyway, so basically they, because it opens with a precursor of the Doctor, sort of, they walk out the TARDIS after they're going, shall we go back in time, forward in time, whatever. And he uses a sonic screwdriver to open up the, you know, the viewing shutters. And then this is the kind of welcome to the end of the world, and we have the title sequence. Then then we have the view of the, you know, the exterior of the ship, and Rose is quickly introduced to her first few aliens. And
blue.
Yes, but it's quite interesting. The greetings with the trees and the face of Bowen and the mox of balloon obviously spits Rose in the eye.
Balloon.
I like to call it a mox of balloon. Does that find any objection? No.
I just thought it was odd to hear it.
But
now, one thing about that section, all the little guards. So. Move, yes. Obviously, like children.
Yes.
It's a little distracting.
You found that distracting?
Yeah.
Do you? But this is a bit that Mary was talking about. Where are these, any of these aliens sort of been on the classic series? Of course, this was a refreshing thing at the time, all brand new aliens. So it was nice to. I'm trying to think of it, you know, having watched it in the first time round, how I felt about, you know, seeing these new Doctor Who things. We didn't know whether we were going to see any of them again, of course, and I think the postman's just dropped something through the letterbox.
I think magic didn't like them.
So we see Cassandra come through, and I mean, what an iconic.
I like to use the word iconic in that sentence normally. Yeah.
We talked about the iconic, but Otto, that was the Titanic God. Before.
Shut up. But anyway, vision this thing is. It's a brilliant design. I don't know if Russell T. Davis actually thought of this specific design, but
I prefer to say Dzingy.
Yeah, shut up. But fantastic. What do you think of Cassandra as a design?
Fantastic.
Shut up.
Hey,
what?
Just quoting.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. I apologize.
I believe that this is the first episode where he does the fantastic.
Is
two
it?
And three and four
No, he did it in episode one, because when he looks over and sees the London Eye in the background.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, he says it once there, and this one, it becomes the catchphrase.
Okay.
After this bit, you know, she has this jukebox, doesn't she, and plays Tainted Love by Soft Cell. Now, that's one of my wife's favourite songs, so it's the only thing she likes about this episode. And Alicia said earlier on in the show that she loved the music they were playing. It really fitted these scenes, even though it's billions of years into the future. And I have a funny feeling that this music may well have been forgotten by then.
I think they should have played Welcome to the Jungle by Guns N' Roses.
I thought you might have quoted
that. Wasn't a jukebox, that was an iPod.
Yes.
An iPod, yes.
Yes.
One thing in the commentary for the episode,
yes,
they mentioned that Russell T. Davies specifically requested that song, and they're not quite sure why.
Well, it's a gay iconic song, isn't it? I think that's why that he liked it. But I like it. It's it reminds me of my teenage years, which were a very, very long time ago, I should be saying. Yeah, so...
Now, some of the shots of Cassandra are just fantastic.
Well, the ones where they... Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking, because you wonder what she's going to look like from behind, don't you? But there's this little sort of hole where you can see her mouth still moving through it. brilliantly done.
And then, anyway, I'll leave
that.
Typically you. But then Isabella's favourite character in the story then appears, which is the little blue plumber girl.
Oh, she was nice.
She was nice, and it's a shame that her character was killed off so quickly, I thought.
I thought she'd have been a great companion, maybe travelling to the universe.
But,
her name is Raffalo.
Yeah, and she was Isabella's favourite character.
Ben.
No, I mean companion.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
but the blue room in the TARDIS.
It's a shame that that's a typical Russell T. Davies trait, though, isn't it? Bring in a character that you're always going to remember her, and she was only in it for a couple of minutes. And
another one, a good one, example of that was what was his name? The Master. I've never heard of him. I've never seen him since. Great character.
Be quiet. But anyway,
I'm snipping outside for some unfresh air.
Oh yeah, all right. But, uh-huh. Rose is in a some sort of viewing room thing, and she's holding a little ball. Now, did those ball thing remind you of the balls from the Yeti? Or the balls from the Christmas special we just had?
Sorry, what?
The little balls. Really. No?
Yeah, I guess so. I hadn't really thought of it.
The spheres. I think that's probably the best word.
Spheres.
For, yeah.
I hadn't thought of it, but yeah.
Go with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but obviously out of one, the one she holds and puts down, and one of these little spider things sort of crawls out. I think they have a slight problem with these spider things, because some of them look bigger in some scenes than they others. They seem to, when they're walking away from the camera, sometimes they don't get smaller. They seem to have a bit of a problem with perspective.
Oh, by the way, it's not Space Station 1; it's Platform 1.
Thank you.
Yes, I knew it was something different.
And also, Platform 1, for some reason, looks like quite a number of places that we see all through the series.
Yes.
That oddly looks like the Temple of Peace in Cardiff.
I wonder why that would be. Strange.
It looks like the interior of the library, in the Science of the Library. It looks like
here we go.
It looks like Kirby doesn't realize that they film in the same location all the time.
Know that.
There is a limit to what you can fit into Cardiff and Penarth and places around there.
How much they can afford.
I wonder, some of these conversations between the Doctor and Rose, how much of it is padding? Because it's funny that it's now she starts asking him who he is and stuff, and gets distracted by him fixing or sonicking her mobile phone so she can actually speak to her mum billions of years into the past. Yeah, so she has a rather soppy conversation with her mum over the phone, and then realises she's just had a conversation with someone who's been dead for billions of years.
Yeah, she's a cheery one, isn't she?
Yeah.
Actually, that ties in with the Beast Below, because Amy says, I've been dead for millions of years, and the Doctor says, oh, this is going to be a happy trip, isn't it? Or something like that.
Now, do you remember the blue bloke that was in it? From the beginning, the blue chap who introduced all the aliens that were arriving to see
Stewart.
The demise. Yeah. Now, this is the amazing nature of Alicia's fandom of Doctor Who, which is totally and utterly focused on the new series. She really is not interested in classic at all. But if you give her the new series, she just reels these facts off. And she's the one that came up. I said, what's the name of that character with the blue face? I can't remember. And she goes, Stewart. And I said, okay, just synopsize this particular story. And she reeled up every single tiny detail from start to finish. It actually took longer than the actual episode on the screen. Hence the first part
she's
of
done
this
that
podcast.
Before, though, hadn't
she? She's amazing. She really does love this series. And that's why I'm trying to, you know, keep her on more of the podcast in relation to the new Who. And she's, as I say, she's agreed to watch her two most scary episodes, which obviously Doctor Nancy's and... what's the other one called? Empty Child.
Empty Child.
She's not watched them since they aired because she's been so scared of them and they've given her nightmares. So she, for this particular series of the 20 Megabyte podcast, she's breaking with that tradition and actually going to watch them for us. So, yeah, enough of Alicia.
Her.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'll be interested to see how she feels about it, because bearing in mind she was 7 when she watched them when they first went out. So, yes, now, there are some other characters, very good characters introduced into this story, the trees. Well, one particular tree, and that's Jabe. It's interesting.
She got mentioned in the Christmas special.
Did she? Only mentioned. No, but this is the interesting thing, wasn't it?
The Cheen.
The Cheen.
Forest of Cheen.
Yeah.
Was mentioned, not Jabe.
Not Jabe. But she is from the Forest of Cheen, though, isn't she?
Yes.
Now, what was the forest...
Oh, you are so pedantic.
Yes, I know, but we have discovered this quite a long time ago. Now, what was the forest in A Good Man Goes to War? What forest was that?
Gamma Forest.
That's a shame. Because it would be quite good if it was one of the forests of Cheen.
I didn't even remember that one.
No, I was expecting they're going to answer, but normally you... here comes the clock. Normally you pause and divert us while you look it up on Wikipedia and pretend that you knew it all along.
Yes.
He's gone quiet now because the secret has been discovered. Now, do you realise this clock's now going to bong 12 times just to annoy me?
I was a bit worried during the scene where Raffalo, the plumber, is in there watching the little spider things and they're shining lasers on her face. They would shine the laser in her eye. Turns out that was post-production.
Oh, right. Oh, good.
They could not risk shining a laser.
And blinding her, understandably. Because obviously Rose and the Doctor get split up in this story, then that makes Jabe the sort of substitute companion for a good part of the story. And they strike up quite a good relationship, her and the Doctor.
I think it's more of a recurring character.
Yes. But
if she had a companion, would she have had to bring along a
tree surgeon?
So, some soil to root in every night or something.
God's sake. No, I was just thinking because...
If she has a haircut, does she need a chainsaw?
Shush.
These are all the important questions.
Yes, vitally.
We'll be asking, Adam.
Mm. And would she be carrying birds around her with her as well, you know, in certain crevices?
Adam, that's just not needed.
Anyway, so early on in the story, she gets one of her compatriots to scan the Doctor to find out what species he is.
She does the scanning. She has a metal...
Well, I'm glad you were watching it. This leads up to the bit where she confronts the Doctor and says, I know what you are and I'm sorry and all that. That scene, brilliantly acted, because... Eccleston's Doctor doesn't actually say anything. He just looks ahead and a tear appears and then she holds his arm and he holds her arm and no words. You just knew what was being said just by the sheer brilliant acting on that particular scene.
Mm-hmm. Eccleston is amazing.
Yeah, Eccleston is fantastic.
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
Yeah. It's just a shame that he doesn't want anything to do with the series now, because it'd be nice to think that if we did have a 50th anniversary special, we might have bring him back just for one episode. But that ain't going to happen. Not without a miracle or lots of money, indeed. But
this story is also the story where we firmly establish that the TARDIS does the translation.
Yes, yes. But also in that scene I was talking about, with the Doctor doing the tear bit, we discover how large his nose is.
Called crying.
Particularly thing okay. about doctors. A lot of the doctors have had very large noses.
I don't want to know about that.
Don't you?
No.
I also noticed another thing about Jabe's chest. It was very, very rubbery in when she was stretched.
Oh, I thought it was somewhere else.
Eh?
I thought you were going to go somewhere else with that.
Her chest, you could see... It looked particularly rubbery. And what was those strange robot-y things in the black cloaks called? I had a funny name.
The appearance of the repeated meme.
Well done.
Repeated meme.
Yes, right. But they punch Rose out. They punch Rose out.
They punch her out? What, like a fight?
They punch her and they knock her out.
They punch her out the window.
Yeah. Knock her out flat, so as they can stick her in a room and set the thing to open up and fry her, basically, which was what happens to the poor little blue bloke. Sorry, tall blue bloke, I beg your pardon.
Tall blue bloke, yes.
Who gets
rather big.
Gets cooked to death. Because while all this is happening, the Doctor is gallivanting with Jabe in the inner bowels of the space station. Now, what haven't worked out...
Let's be honest in this bit. He's trying to shag a tree.
Yes, obviously. But what are these huge, great, big Titanic propellers that are there? I know they're obviously there for the plot, but what are they actually there for? They're what?
Yeah,
part of the cooling system.
Why do they have to have such big Titanic propellers?
Because it's a big station.
And the Doctor says it's very retro.
No, that's true. I don't know what you lot thought about that particular section.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, meanwhile, Rose is about to get fried. And the Doctor only discovers this when he finds the blue bloke sort of frazzled. And checks the system, realises another one is just about to open. And I just love the bit when he arrives and realises that she's in there. And what did he say, the words?
It would be you.
That's it! Well done! I should run a quiz.
Go on, then.
It's quite funny, because the way he says that is as if he's known her for years, and of course he's only really known her for a couple of days, which is...
No, about 2 hours, is my impression. Wait, a couple of days.
Yeah, I'll say a couple of days.
No.
I'll go with
make up your mind!
Why do you think it's a couple of hours, then? Because he met her, and then...
The problem is that I just watched the next The Unquiet Dead last night. And
shouldn't have done that.
That is naughty.
One great thing about watching that last night was I turned it on and my geek daughter wandered into the room and saw I was watching it. And she didn't really want to watch any Doctor Who yesterday, but she was sucked right back in.
Good. That's what happened with this series, though, isn't it? This is a series that, like I said before, it's sort of... It's the foundation of what we have now, because Doctor Who is so successful now. It's because of this series.
Yes.
And, you know, you can watch these episodes over and over again without getting bored.
Even with zippers and foreheads.
Yeah, yeah. I don't like the slithering, but they're still good stories.
We'll get to them in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, indeed. I'll have to put up with it, but there you go. There's still some good performances in that.
Can we review those two episodes in one? Because I don't think I can.
We already established that any of the two parts will be reviewed as one story.
Okay, sorry for having a terrible memory then.
Yes, you have, haven't it? Ben, hasn't Reese got a terrible memory?
Who?
This is worse.
Podcaster of the year 2012.
Oh dear, I forgot where I was now. I was going to say something. I was going to put
Isle of Wight. We probably went off on a tangent.
Yeah, no, I was going to say something about one of the bits where, just after he rescues Rose, and I've completely lost. But there was a thing where I've skipped past with the conversation between Cassandra and Rose was pretty particularly
good. That was a good
conversation. I managed to skip that one. I don't know how, because I think we were talking about stuff unrelated to the episode. But yes, that was a really, really good scene between those two characters. But anyway, we discover that Cassandra is the culprit with all what's been going on the platform doodah space station thing. And, pardon?
I was just sniggering at that, that's all.
But and she tries to blame the face of Bo, and this is where we get the line, talk to the face. I wonder if that's why Face of Bo was actually invented, just so he could put that joke into the episode.
Not sure.
And see, this is in that conversations at the end where everything's kind of coming to where the systems are shutting down, all that. That's where the Mox of Balhoon says, he's having a conversation with Face of Bo. He says, this is the classic bad wolf scenario.
Oh, okay. We'll have to look out for that one. Next time we'll watch it.
Actually, I do remember him saying that now.
You do? That's good then.
Yeah.
But anyway, so she sort of lets slip something, and I can't remember what it is. It means the Doctor has now got to negotiate these great big propellers with the help of Jabe. This is the point where I told you, Jabe is sort of by the controls, knowing she's going to get fried. She's holding the handle down, but she's breathing. Her chest does look like plastic. Latex thing. It's not. Doesn't look good at this particular juncture. It looks.
No, it didn't.
Oh, you agree with me?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
You know, on that particular scene, they made a mistake with the prosthetics. I'm afraid. But this is where the Doctor.
Or maybe they could have told her not to breathe so heavily, so they would stay still.
Well, that's true. But maybe they would have noticed that that her chest looked a bit like plastic and not wood. But great scene nevertheless. All that bit where he's wandering through the thingamajigs and dodging the propellers, and she spontaneously bursts into flames. Of course, this all makes the Doctor rather cross. And
just a tad.
Yeah. So he tells the trees that that their friend is
talking to trees again,
turned into a barbecue machine, and then sort of rants on a bit, brings back Cassandra, who's got a sort of double-ended transmat thing that's been kept in an egg for some reason, an ostrich egg. And this is when he gets rather ruthless, doesn't he? Brings her back, allows her to dry out and explode. Rose just says, no, you know, you can't. What? How did she put it? It's not that you can't do that. Help her, I think she says, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he says everything has its time. This sort of indicates how the beginning of Doctor's transformation from a battle-scarred Doctor into, you know, a cured Doctor, which obviously what Rose is supposed to be doing to him over this series. But she forgives him of his ruthlessness towards Cassandra. But is there a bit? Somebody said, while they're standing and looking at out the window, these rocks or the remains of the Earth flying around, that somebody says, is that the Isle of Wight?
No, I think that's just in your version.
No, that's what Alicia said.
Yeah, okay. There we go, then. Pacer! That's the Isle of Wight.
Shut up. Yeah, because they go back. She's sulking, isn't she?
Now I want chips.
She's sulking, so they go back to Earth. Wait, and
where is she?
She wants chippy chips. Well, after they just about survive, because the Doctor, just in the nick of time, flicks the switch that allows the deflectors back on.
Wasn't that convenient?
It was, wasn't it? They go back to Earth because she's sulking a little bit about the destruction of her sulking. Planet. Well, because her planet's been destroyed.
I think she's having a bit of a hard time trying to get her head around the fact she's been 50 billion years in the future. She's seen her planet that's, you know, she's lived on all her life, been blown up, and now 8 seconds later she's back on the planet. I think she's allowed to be a little bit confused about what's going on.
Mm-hmm. I suppose she is a bit.
I'd allow her that anyway.
But then after this bit, they go back. He takes her back to her own time, and she gets an inkling for some chips.
Chips.
And these are the 66% of our listeners are French fries rather than the little crispy things you get in a packet, she's talking about. Yeah, by the way, there was no mention of the Isle of Wight in this particular scene, so a slapped wrist for Alicia next time I see her. Yes.
And you for bringing it up.
Well, I have to get... Because after Ben said the Isle of Wight was the size of a postage stamp, well, it might be on a picture to scale, the postage stamp would be the same size as the Isle of Wight. But sometimes you can draw the whole world onto the size of a postage stamp, so that's all down to...
Don't try and justify your tiny little island being.
It is small. I mean, it's 13 miles from Cowes to Shanklin. That's one. That's north to south. And it's about 25 miles... 25 miles.
They can name
miles.
The animals that are on the island. Cows.
Shush. 25 miles from Freshwater to Bembridge.
Slightly off topic. I was around my best mate's house last night, and his mum's booking a summer holiday. And as every year she's done since 1903 or whatever, she's going to the Isle of Wight for holiday.
Good for her. And you might come to the Isle of Wight for our 100th episode.
I might come to the Isle of Wight for 100th episode, but she's going on holiday to the Isle of Wight for a big, you know, major summer holiday. And she's leaving on, I think it's the 23rd of August, and she'll be back about 3 hours later. After seeing the sight.
What do you mean, the sight? There's sights on the Isle of Wight. Google it, listeners. The Isle of Wight. ISLEOFWIGHT. Google it, and you can see how lovely this place is.
You even have an amusement park.
Well, we even have an amusement park.
What it is, it's a 1943-style arcade game. It's not even that.
I will say, though, if you're referring to Peter Pan's in Ride, it's not. It's more of an amusement corner rather than an amusement park.
No,
it's very small. Black Gang?
On the south coast.
Black Gang.
Black Gang Chime?
Yes.
Yeah.
In there.
Yeah, so again, it's more of an amusement. What's the next step down from a park? Garden. There you go. An amusement garden. It's quite small.
I was reading up on it. You might have figured out I like amusement parks. So
It's better than it used to be, but got to bear in mind it's built on a load of cliffs and parts of it keep falling into the sea.
Yeah, I was about to say that a few years ago one of the buildings slipped off the side of the cliff.
Yeah. There's Robin Hill, which has the potential to be an amusement park if they put their minds to it. It's quite a lot of the land there, but they have lots of music festivals there instead. Anyway, enough of the Isle of Wight's lacking amusement parks.
Before we move on, isn't it true that on the Isle of Wight, the most technology you've got is that 1978 Atari game that you play tennis on that just go beep, beep, on the two little lines on the side of the screen? Is that as far as you've got?
No.
Oh, anyway, you got the colour version. All right, okay.
Are we going to mention the scene where the Doctor references the Time War and the fact his planet's gone?
Did we mention that? Because that's a bit where he cries.
At the end of the episode.
Yes, this is around the Chippy Chips bit, wasn't it? Sorry, yes. Carry on, Reece. You mentioned that bit, yeah.
You mentioned it, Reece.
Well, I'll mention it, oh dear. if I'm not mistaken, this is one of the first hintings... This is the first hinting of the Time War, I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And...
they mentioned it in Rose, obviously, the fact that all his people were dead, but he didn't say why, but yes.
So this is the first time he actually mentioned the Time War, yes.
Well, earlier in the episode when he's running around with Jabe, she goes, I'm very sorry, because she knows about the Time War.
Yes.
Is he quite literally tree-hugging at that point?
Yes. Hand grasping. Tree hand grasping.
Yes.
He's getting wood.
Oh, I knew you'd go down. I thought I'll try and steer clear of myself, but I should have known you couldn't resist that one.
Right. I know why we didn't hear that one on the Christmas episode. It was because Ben wasn't here.
Anyway.
I'm too busy getting nominated.
Yes. You've got to stop doing that.
Yes.
I've
lost my thread completely.
So have I. This is the kind of time where I'd have liked to have been a fan of the classic series, so I could have got that bit of excitement and wonder of what was going on with the Time War and what happened to the Time Lords, because I think I get that now with little references, but it must have been quite exciting for you.
Yeah, the thing about the Time War
all their necks broke from wearing those high collars.
Maybe so, but the thing about the Time War is that there's been lots of mention of it, but they've never really... they seem to have pushed it to one side a little bit since RTD's departure.
Yeah, exactly. No, it was an RTD idea, wasn't it? Mm. Stephen Moffat has gone, well,
it's not been resolved. That always, in my mind, I've always thought they might do a one-off with McGann and Eccleston that basically tells the story of the
Tell you what they should do. They should make the movie that they're going to do about the Time War.
Yeah, with McGann and Eccleston.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That'd be lovely.
They'll never get Eccleston.
No.
Well, the thing is, because they don't need Eccleston. Because as we kind of like have already decided on from watching Rose last week, he'd only just regenerated.
Unless they have McGann, and have McGann as the Eighth Doctor that only appears in Doctor Who movies.
Yeah, well, that would work, wouldn't it? Because they then go back and explore the Time War completely with McGann as the Doctor, because that's chronologically the order we think it happened.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, you've got McGann as the Doctor. You don't need Eccleston.
And if they want McGann's Doctor to be killed at the end of it, maybe, they could just have him doing his regeneration thing and then cut. You don't have to see him actually physically change into Eccleston's Doctor, because you know it's happening. That'd be fantastic. We've written it. That's it. The Time War with Paul McGann as the Doctor Who movie that they're talking about on the BBC. That's all they need to do, even if Moffat produces it. That's all they need to do.
No, it won't be Moffat producing it. It'll be Russell T. Davis.
I don't think... Have you heard this is going to be happening, have you? That Russell T. Davis is going to... No.
Yes, he will.
He said he doesn't want to have anything to do with a Doctor Who movie. He might eventually write a Doctor Who episode again, but not a movie.
No, okay.
I'll bet you we will.
And what's this new project that he's going to be working on?
Yeah, some science-y, fiction-y crossover type thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
A cross between Doctor Who and Harry Potter.
Yes.
Sounds a bit silly to me.
Doctor Potter?
How are you?
I think you'll find, actually, for English listeners,
Potter who,
Dr.
Yeah.
Potter is the person who runs the Lakeside Country Club.
Harry who, that's it, yeah.
Speaking of chips, my youngest daughter, 14-year-old, has gotten to the point where she's almost an honorary Brit, because she will refer to chips and crisps properly.
And what does she refer to a group of episodes in a segment of a show? What does she call those?
Segment of a show.
A group of episodes.
A series.
Okay.
Yeah.
Of course.
Okay, that's fine. Just wondered. So yes, Kirby.
How dare you? Anyway,
he's always been my favourite.
Yeah, go on. Sorry, Reece. Sorry, we're interrupting you. I do apologise.
I'd like how experimental things like the directing in this were, because the spiders were crawling through the ducting, and one of them actually hits the camera and they shake the camera.
Yes.
Yeah.
I quite liked little touches like that.
Yes, very, very, very good. Especially that, where that would have been computer animation as well, which is, you know,
so they shook the camera on storyboards, but maybe
storyboard writers extremely clever in these episodes.
I think it was a fantastic second episode.
Yeah. This is the one that kicked the series off, wasn't it? Because obviously Rose was an introductory episode stroke story, but this is
the
first
pilot, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Rose was a pilot episode.
Yeah, and this is the one that kicked it off as is it going to work? Well, you saw this episode, it did and it did work. Sorry, and it carried on really nicely.
You know, it's brilliant being introduced to loads of new aliens. Some of them good, some of them bad. You don't know who's who. You know that kind of stuff.
That was Christopher Eccleston. He was the Doctor Who.
Oh, thanks very much. Wasn't sure which one it was.
Of the series, the credit at the end to Doctor Who.
Yes.
I will kill them.
Yeah. Stupid.
One for calling it Doctor Who, and the other one for calling it Series 1. Never mind.
But no, it's a great episode. And the bit at the end, as we were kind of discussing, where the Doctor was telling Rose about how his people have all gone and, you know, big war and all that kind of stuff. And then they just moved on and got some chips.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Really, really good episode. And
we have to also...
I love the way it began as well. As we kind of mentioned, the recap bit.
Yeah. Of course, some recaps where the prelude of next week's episode was always, at the time, I remember how exciting it was, because it did look really spooky and really scary. That was a brilliant little preview that they showed at the end of this episode.
Brilliant episode too.
Work out what the amount of Torchwood was doing in Doctor Who, but hey.
But anyway, before we go, I did post last week, funny enough, because it would have been around about this time last week, episode 94 is out now on our Facebook group. That's the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. And we had some feedback in relation to that. Kevin Williams said, "Great show, as always, Adam. Unit box set is on its way. Lucky sod, I want that and I can't afford it."
He's sending it to you.
Oh, is he sending it to me? Oh, thanks, Kevin. Anyway, can't wait to see those...
If you don't turn up, sue him.
Can't wait to see those crap dinosaurs again, he says. And then I said, thank you, Kevin. I don't know when I'm going to be able to afford the... Violins, please. The unit box, but I will get it one day. But Deb says I'll get
Maybe
it for my birthday.
Maybe for your birthday in a couple of weeks.
No, it's May, my birthday.
Not your birthday in a couple of weeks, isn't it? Oh, it is mine.
Is it?
Yeah, just in case anyone wants to send me it.
Philip W. Cerner says... Your Rose discussion reminded me of the 1990s Dead Ringers Doctor Goes Sightseeing to the London Eye, and he's put a link on it. He put a link on our page, and it is funny. I did watch all of that. Thanks, Philip, for that. Then Daniel Van Kylenberg, whose son has no taste in music whatsoever because he particularly doesn't like Isabella's singing, says, another enjoyable listen. Thanks, team. And I said the kind word.
Can I just say Daniel's got a great name?
He has, yes.
Obviously not his first name, but his last name.
He supports a fine football team as well.
I don't care about
Man
that.
United. And Philip W. Sonner said, great listen this week. Thanks, Philip. Thanks, everybody who supports the show. It's lovely to get feedback.
That's Dr. Phil of the Adventures in Space, Time and Music.
I thought it was Time, Space and Music.
Whatever.
He's just being pedantic.
Pedantic, yes.
I thought it was Music, Space and Time.
I thought it was podcast. Music, space, and time.
Music, time, space.
One of these days, he mentioned Dr. Phil has promised to give us more information about the title tune that we use for the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
He promised, but he hasn't actually done that yet. But
it would be very nice to hear that.
I feel quite humbled that a person of his intellectual calibre is actually listening to the show. I don't know whether he's using it as sort of like some sort of therapy to sort of keep his brain down to earth. You know.
Well, to reassure him that he's really smart and don't worry about it at all.
Now, have you covered the news, any Doctor Who news yet?
I haven't, no, because I haven't been able to get onto any yet. Have you got any?
Yes, there's the very interesting tweet that Stephen Moffat sent out last week.
Was that the one in relation to me, or?
No.
No, right.
It says, right, everybody who follows me, go and follow Sophia Miles.
I did.
In that fireplace.
I did follow her, and she's,
now,
yes,
I'll
she might be the
later
new companion.
Or not.
No, please do. Please explain.
No, that I'm reading
that's
the tweet.
Tweet. Moffat being his old, Stephen I'll explain Moffat. Later or not.
Yeah, explain later. Yeah, God. Yeah, that's something we were talking about, Time Lash and the Doctor miraculously surviving. And how did he survive? I'll explain later, and he didn't. But carry on, that was me sidetracking, yes. You were going to say,
ahead.
Kirby, sorry.
I was trying to read the entire tweet.
You were?
Yeah.
Oh.
It was, write everybody who follows me, go and follow Sophia Miles, spin that fireplace, now, I'll explain later, or not. End quote.
Well, of course, Stephen Moffat wrote The Girl in the Fireplace, didn't he?
So. Yes. And a lot of speculation that possibly this might be the Pond's replacement.
Could be.
How long has she been on Twitter? Has she just joined and it's just him saying, go on, follow her? Or
I don't
is
know.
It something hinting that?
I don't know. But Alicia, when I showed her who she was, said, I liked her. She'd be really good. So.
Yeah, no, that'd be very interesting.
Now, it would be nice if they could bring her back not as...
A different character.
Yeah, as a different character. Mm. And that led to my having a little competition with Julia, my geek daughter, last night, where we were counting down, figuring out who all has been started as one character in the modern series and come back as a different
character. Well, obviously you've got Eve Miles, who will be appearing in the next episode we're reviewing. We've got Freema Agyeman, who has played two members of the same family in Rise of Steel or something.
It was the
Army of Ghosts. That's it, yeah. And then, of course, Martha Jones. What else have we got then?
Bernard Cribbins? Oh, no, it's the same character.
That's the same character.
Yeah, same character, yeah.
We came up with four. Amy.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Karen Gillan.
Played one of the sisters, wasn't it, in Fires of Pompeii.
And there was...
Did she?
She did.
Yeah.
Oh, she did,
one
yeah.
of the soothsayers.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the ones with a speaking part, too.
That's right.
Yes, so that's very good.
Any more?
There was one other. I'm trying to remember.
David Tennant. He was one of the... David Tennant was actually the Mox of Balhoun. And they recast him because they didn't think it suited him.
Oh, darn.
Nicholas Briggs has played a few different parts in it, and so has the chap who's in the Cyberman costume.
Later.
Mark Gatiss, he's played two different characters. Obviously,
that's true,
heavily made up.
True.
Yeah.
True.
Three, if you include the bloke who does the Danny Boy voiceover.
Oh, Danny Boy.
Dear me. Any more?
Yes, there is one more, but I forgot what it was, so I'll have to remember and I'll post it later.
Mickey, he played Mickey and, what was the other one? Sorry, that was...
Mocky.
He played the alternative Mickey, who had a different name. And
Ricky.
Ricky, that's it, yeah.
Yes.
Does that count?
No, it's the same character.
And, of course, if it did count, then you've got the alternative universe mum and dad of Rose.
And Doctor.
Oh, yeah, alternative Doctor, that's true.
And the alternative...
Remember the Stiff Little Fingers? Alternative Ulster... Oh, sorry, I'm getting sidetracked again. What else? This has really got me intrigued, this particular section. Well done, Kirby.
I could go in the other room and wake
no,
up...
No. I don't think we can...
ask her, because I forgot.
Quick, it's 6:30. We need to know the answers to this question for the podcast.
Well, of course, in the classic series, the biggest one of that would be Colin Baker, who played...
Yes.
Count before he became the Doctor.
I know what I was thinking of. Bernard Cribbins was in one of the movies.
He's in both movies. Two movies in
the
60s.
But those aren't canon.
Yes.
They got Doctor Who in the title.
Not canon.
Crap. I don't care. They got Doctor Who in the title.
The Doctor is
the book I'm looking at, but it doesn't make it a TV program.
Yes. Any more news?
Yes, I have some news.
Yes.
The answer to one of Doctor Who's oldest mysteries has been provided on the DVD upcoming release of Invasion of the Dinosaurs.
Oh, yes.
What, the Doctor's name?
It had long been known...
Doctor Who.
Yeah, Doctor Who.
I've thought of another one. Before you do that, I thought of another one. Alexander Armstrong, who played in Doctor Who, Mr. Smith, and the husband in the Christmas special. Carry on.
Which other character was he?
Mr. Smith.
He was
in
Sarah Jane
Psylocke,
Adventures.
Isn't it? What come on to call it? The computer in Sarah Jane Adventures. But I think
he's the voice of the computer, is he?
Yes.
Hmm. I've never noticed that.
Oh, okay. Sorry, carry on, Ben. Do apologise.
No, I like Alexander.
So do I.
Myself.
What a good doctor he would make.
I'd still go for Eddie Izzard.
Yeah, alright, carry on.
It had long been known that Elizabeth Sladen was not the first choice to play the role of Sarah Jane Smith. For years, the identity of the original actress had remained a close secret, known only to members of the production team. However, the production notes on a new DVD release compiled by David Brunt, who wasn't in the office, have revealed that the actress first selected to play the role was April Walker.
Never heard of her.
No, neither have I. Brunt discovered the name on a strange...
I honestly haven't.
From BBC, well, she was probably born 50 years before you. Excuse me.
Your excuse.
Brunt discovered a stray memo from the BBC files informing the BBC finance department to pay the actress when each of the 11th series stories went into a studio. Walker had a similar pedigree to Sladen at the time Sarah Jane was cast, with small roles in a number.
Same dog.
There is.
Shut up.
Including Crossroads, Dad's Army, and the Odeon Line. Walker was cast in 19... This is the interesting bit. Walker was... Well,
is it, all sorry, what did you say Walker? Was she a dog walker? Or is it...
No, April Walker.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Was cast in 1973 as a doctor's assistant by then-producer Barry Letts, who was looking for a replacement for Katie Manning, who had left the series at the end of the previous series. Contracts... Oh, series. You see it says there?
Many been to.
Contracts were signed, but then Walker, April Walker, not Dog Walker, met the current doctor, John Pertwee. It became very apparent...
They're a bit behind.
Well, yeah, I know, just because you're in 2015 now, don't show off. It became apparent there was a lack of chemistry between the two. Although the pair had worked together on stage for about 5 years previously and got on quite well, she was not the sort of actress Pertwee wanted to play the companion. He felt she was too tall, too busty, Harry, and too much of a performer. Not the sort of girl, a tiny girl, he could protect as the Doctor. So he was nice and sexist, obviously, John Pertwee.
He was from an age of sexism, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. For actors to be replaced, they have been cast is not common but unknown. Sometimes the face just doesn't fit, however good the actor / actress is. The production team, a replacement is necessary. Letts took the decision to recast the part. And eventually gave it to Sladen, this time with approval from John Pertwee, because Liz Sladen wasn't busted. To take that from a
good part. Well, I can just about hear him, that's right.
Anyway, that's about it.
Well, on Twitter, Sam Burrows, who's at Carlatini, but I know I'll come back to you, at Carlantini, he tweeted me, said the whole last series of Doctor Who was Sherlock and the Reichenbach Falls. The Doctor faking his death to go undercover. Don't quite know what he's talking about, but I thought it was worth mention.
What do you mean you don't know what he's talking about?
I don't watch Sherlock, and I don't know what the Reichenbach Falls are.
You've never read any Sherlock? You've never seen any
don't
Sherlock?
Don't like
Holmes?
Sherlock. Blimmin' Holmes.
Holmes?
God, Holmes. It's Holmes or Holmes, as we say here in the Isle of Wight. My best friend's called Dorian Holmes, I say Holmes because it's spelt in exactly the same way. But there's posh people say Holmes.
Yeah, not bothered about it myself.
No. Yeah, so I don't know what he's talking about, but I thought it was worth a mention.
That does make sense.
Does
for
it?
Those of
it
us does. who like Sherlock Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay. Sorry.
They're sensible people among us.
Yeah.
Now, I've got a bit of news for people who are in the southeastern United States.
Yes.
We have a small but fun convention in Atlanta.
Yeah.
In May 25th through the 27th. I went to it last year.
You said it was Atlanta.
I said it was Atlanta.
dear.
Yes, but then you said it was in May. The joke failed.
He's really on form today, Reese, isn't he? That's the Who is the Man podcast.
I would be if he got it.
That's the Who in the Band podcast, staggering stories.
It's a fun small Doctor Who / Stargate convention. Mm-hmm. I went to it last year. Unfortunately, I can't go to it the next 2 years because my daughters are picking that weekend to graduate from high school, one this year, one next year.
That's very inconvenient of them. I think
very
you need to
inconvenient.
Word.
But they announced a new guest for the convention. First of all, they have some Stargate guy, David Nickel. I have no idea. I've never seen Stargate.
Mm.
And I said last year that they had announced Paul Casey was going to be a guest. He is the guy who's inside, like he's Chief Cyberman, Chief Ood, etc. He's always the main guy wearing those costumes. But they announced a new guest, Caitlin Blackwood.
Who?
Amelia Pond. Ooh.
Oh, right, yeah, I've got, yeah, sorry, Amy. I should have known that, shouldn't I? Well, talking about Amelia Pond, as in played by Karen Gillan, she's shortly to be appearing in a BBC Four film, which I'm desperately looking forward to seeing, in which she plays the English model Jean Shrimpton, and it's set in Manhattan anyway, isn't it? I think she went there to film this. I'm really looking forward to seeing this film.
There's previews out there.
Listeners, it'll be on the Thursday, the 26th of January, from 9 o'clock to 9:30 on BBC Four. Sorry to interrupt, Kirby, but I wanted to get that one out there because I'm really looking forward to seeing it. Carry on.
TimeGateCon.org for anyone who's interested in TimeGate.
That'll be you then, Reese.
Yes.
Yes. Excellent. Any more news?
Thing. Yes, one more little thing.
Yes.
Guess what I am currently watching on Watch? Oh, that's a TV channel in England, the non-England.
I could cheat and have a look at Watch myself. Let's have a look.
You could do, and you'd see that I'm watching The Girl in the Fireplace.
Ooh,
written by your favourite Doctor Who writer, Mr. Stephen Moffat.
I'm now turned over to the Australian Open Tennis.
I just flicked over channels and Louis Spence's face suddenly greeted me. I'm glad I got the volume turned down because I can't hear him saying his rather... impronounceable
etiquette.
Louis Spink and his Igor? Impronounceable etiquette. Very irritating.
It's like Igor from Discworld.
Yeah.
Worse than that.
On Twitter, it does say, similar to you, the Minute Doctor Who podcast, the DW Who cast, and the Sixth Doctor Dave AC, the Colton Collective. Apparently, they're all similar to us, according to Twitter.
Apparently, really. Magic didn't like that.
No, but he's very fussy.
What?
I think that's about it.
Before you go, just to take us back once more to this whole Twitter thing that you started earlier when Stephen Moffat tweeted, why not follow Dingy Miles? And everyone went, okay. It wasn't that as interesting, but it's the bits that happened after that that's even more interesting.
As you go underwater.
At first, Miles was poking a little fun at the promotion, announcing that Moffat should run for president. Anything to get him out of the country.
Anyway.
The next day, however, she simply tweeted, the plot thickens, and then on January the 13th, it was who, in the, italics, is ready to
underwater again.
Underwater.
Who is ready to rock? Count me in, she says. Then someone asked her whether she's going to be the new companion in Doctor Who, and she simply replied, ask the Moth. So
interesting.
The plot thickens, apart from the fact it seems to me quite obvious that she's going to be the new companion. So, if I'm wrong, which I won't be, because I never am, because I'm very clever, never get anything wrong, and you ever swim underwater, then you can... have my award back that I'm going to win later in the year.
Okay, thank you. Right, that's about it then. Thank you very much for joining this discussion on something I didn't really want to talk about. Next week...
we edited it out quite easily.
Next week...
the last 20 minutes off.
Next week...
That's right.
Yes, thank you.
There's a white horse in the fireplace.
It's
the White Horse there.
Episode 3 of series 1 of Doctor Who, which is entitled Everybody.
Everybody?
No.
That's not entitled Everybody, Adam. That's just
no. I don't remember watching one called no. Everybody.
The Unquiet Dead.
Thank
dead.
You. Written by Mark Gatiss, and it's the first new series not to have been penned by Russell T. Davies. Look forward to that, because it's a really good one. And,
it's a really good episode.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And yes. Until then,
just watched it last night.
Hopefully not such a long episode next week. If you want to send an email, please do. It's 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. That's 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. And join our Facebook group and follow us on Twitter, etc., etc. All in the show notes. Thanks, everybody.
And don't forget, everybody, as you say, everybody, to send a lovely email to brandon.simpson@tiscally.com. for me as the podcaster of the year, male podcaster of the year, and also make sure that you say in there he probably should be also be nominated for the best overall podcaster.
And I'm surprised he hasn't thought of a category, the best podcast feedback contributor. And
also,
then he'd give one to himself then, couldn't he?
You should be nominated for the best underwater podcaster too.
Yep, best underwater podcaster. Best person to go out for a fag during the podcast and leave everyone else to it. And best person eating a chicken and bacon slice that no one noticed I'd eaten because I'd eaten it so quietly.
Anyway, I've got to get going. I've got so much to do this afternoon, and as you can imagine. Bye.
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 I'm not saying it. I'm waiting. I'm not signing off yet because I haven't finished. Oh, I've finished now. There's a white horse!
Did David tell him to do a wink? Anyway, goodbye!
Bye.
Oh, don't flap your ears at that point. That was Star, by the way, flapping your ears just at the wrong moment.
I didn't mean to.
Yes, Reese.
Bye! Oh, why do goodbyes always take longer than the actual podcast themselves?
We've
got the podcast with more blooming presenters and listeners, and now we've got longer to say goodbye than any other blooming podcast. So maybe there's an award for that on Mr.
You've
Renz.
You've got lots of editing to do in this podcast.
I know! Yeah. And it's getting longer.
Been there's
been lots
episode
of
episode 95, in this correct?
Pardon?
Yes. Episode it is 95. Episode
95. Okay. Episode 95, yes. Can we say goodbye now? Oh!
Yes. Wow.
What brilliant timing. So we'll have to wait now until after 1 o'clock to say goodbye.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance.
Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.